What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Finance Trendy Podcast, interactive podcast teaching you how to build financial wealth. I wanted to take some time today to kind of revisit the previous, an older episode that I kind of did about not being disposable or making yourself so that you're indisposable, right? And not putting yourself in a position that you can be disposable and then, quote unquote, be tossed to the curve, which obviously is going to have financial impacts on you. With automation, artificial intelligence, just the way the future's moving really fast, right? And there are going to be jobs that are going to require, they're going to either require less amount of people, so that means that industry is going to shrink, or they're going to require you to be kind of one of the best, or kind of like tech savvy, like distinguish yourselves in a way that you could still kind of be in the industry. Or you're going to have to change the industry, right? You're going to have to either change the industry or change to a different industry, depending on how you see it. I really see this as an opportunity to reflect. So I kind of view this as, right, I've been talking a lot in this podcast about saving, building wealth, investing in these companies that are building the future, putting away money for the future. But here's the time to kind of really invest in yourself. And I know it sounds corny, but really look at yourself and as like a stock, right? As a performer, seeing, okay, how am I doing right now? How am I going to do in the future? What can I do to boost my revenues, which in this case would be your income? And boost my way to get into a position that I'm going to be, A, creating a moat, which I always tell, right, invest in companies that have moats, that it's hard to go against them. So you're going to be building yourself into a moat. You're building a moat around yourself. So it's going to be harder for, A, either automation to capture you, and B, if automation is capturing your industry and cutting your industry in half, you're going to be part of those half people that aren't going to be losing their job, are going to be adapting with the technology to be the leaders in this new industry. So, I mean, a couple examples, I can just go through the list. Firefighters, right? So firefighters have historically, right, they use data, quote-unquote data, right? This is their own views from the past on how to fight fires. With global warming, climate change, all the fires are kind of moving in different directions. Of course, droughts and all that are affecting it, right? So they're, but fires are becoming more and more dangerous in the sense that they're moving different directions. So now firefighters are using data analytics. So this is kind of like how sports teams like the Houston Rockets or the famous Moneyball, so the Oakland Athletics, using analytics to say, what are the probability of me winning this game? Is this game even important? What are the probabilities of my players being well and all this? And they're doing that with fires. So I'm not saying that firefighters, if you're in your firefighting career, like this is a job that you need to worry about automation, but this is a job that in order to distinguish yourself in the sense of how the future of firefighting is going to look, you have to understand the basic kind of analytics. You don't have to write the code for it, but you have to understand the analytics, the data, plug that in using different formulas, figuring out where the what an 80% chance of the fire being contained here looks like, right? So that's an example. Another example is schedulers, right? So previously in the past, you'd have like a person per one scheduler per person or manager, and they would be going around scheduling all those meetings, catching up with the emails and all that scheduling requests. Well, now you have Outlook, right? And Outlook has Outlook Calendar, which lets you schedule very easy, right? You can share your calendar. A lot of times scheduling has gone kind of obsolete in the sense that you need one scheduler in specific per person. So that has caused a loss in jobs, but for schedulers who adapted to Outlook and now and are able really comfortably to use it, now they can schedule four or five people. So their value has gone up in the sense that they can now work work to schedule 4 or 5 people as opposed to just scheduling one person like they did before. And that's a consolidation, but if you were a scheduler and you didn't know how to use Outlook, you would be kind of thrown to the curve, right? You'd be kind of cutthroat, gone. My field, for example, so right, as a government community relations coordinator, part of my job is looking, finding laws that affect the university, and seeing how what those effects could be. Theoretically, automation should and can happen in this part of the industry in the sense that you don't need someone just researching bills and laws. You can have a program kind of like Google where you can like search keywords, and it can then, you can have an algorithm that searches keywords and prints something out like that that would affect the university on a daily, bi-weekly, or whatever category. However, you still need a human in the sense that to go through those laws and make sure to interpret how that would affect the university and relay information to others, right? So you still need that human aspect, but let's say you had 5 people researching laws and 5 people also looking up the, interpreting the law, for example, or interpreting it for bill summaries. From those 5 people, you probably don't need 5 people to research the laws. You only need maybe 2 or 3. So you can cut your staff by 50%. Now, in order to be ahead, right, you want to actually learn how to interpret that, how to maybe plug in the algorithm, how to actually change the algorithm to certain settings for your certain company, right? And that is going to distinguish yourself as someone else. You're going to distinguish yourself as someone who's going to be going up in the industry. Another example would be real estate, right? So if you're in a real estate area that's very high drought, and you're kind of fundamentally view the way that the city's going to go is 2 ways, right? A, they're either going to stop building housing because the drought is not going to allow them to have enough water for the city, so they're going to stop building housing. Thus, that is going to cause the housing in that area, limited supply and demand, it's going to cause the housing to go up. B, there's the second option, is that they're going to continue to build housing like normal and water prices are going to shoot up. So if you're in a real estate agent in this market, you're going to say, okay, there's 2 ways that it can go. I can, if the housing market stops, right, if they stop building anything, the housing market is going to be super competitive for real estate agents. If I'm not in those top 25-30% real estate agents, I'm probably going to see a decline. I might have to move cities. B, if the water markets are going to go up, this might see water price is going to go up in the city. This might see a decrease in housing prices. What I can do to pivot to this industry of renewable energy is I can start selling my homes at a higher price, but actually include in that, bundle it with solar power companies like Source that are having hydro panels that soak up the humidity, the atmosphere, and then actually turn that into water. So they're soaking up the humidity and turning the air into water. And you can then do that. So I think you always have to kind of like look at yourself as a stock. And I mean, it sounds kind of like, oh, you're looking at yourself as like a financial tool, but you have to look at that in order to pursue. If you love something, but you're not good at it, don't do it as your full-time job. If you not really like something so much, but you're amazing at it, chances are is you're going to be cornering that market like a monopoly, and you are thus going to be getting a higher pay, which is going to put you in a financially stable situation long-term. So, I mean, it sounds counterintuitive, right? Oh, do something that makes you happy. But if it's not making you money and you're not actually going to be in that top sector and that top acceleration, and be a recession-proof, pandemic-proof, and now also automation-proof, there's really no point of doing that and going into that long-term, right? Because the way you're looking at it is you want to say, okay, what is a good investment for me? If I want to go into this industry, the pay's not very low, and it's probably going to get automated, that's probably not a good investment. If I'm very good in something that I find kind of okay, automation might But and I really know how to utilize automation in the sense that, like, I know how to code, or I know how to understand these analytics or research products to put me at the top. I am thus going to see my salary go up because I'm going to be competing against a higher number. I'm going to be competing against as a higher quality of an individual in my market and in my sector. And I'm also going to be leaving the rest of the people in my sector in the dust when automation actually fulfilly goes through, right? This is going to still take a couple of years, but it's going to happen fast. And the thing is it's going to change like this. You're going to see kind of slowly automation implemented in these areas, but it's going to change really fast. So I would say, yes, you still have a couple of years, but you want to focus yourself into that, because what's the point of then trying to learn it when automation is already here and your boss or something says that if you don't have the skills right now, you're going to lose your job. You want to have the skills before it's even asked on the resume, so that when it does get asked, you will be ahead of the game. So that's what I wanted to give a little take on. But yeah, everyone, I hope you have a great week. And if you have any questions, please email me, robelbk@yahoo.com. Take care, everyone.